coach that knows about winning. I'm going to push you guys like you've never been pushed before. Some of you are going to wish I was dead. I eat quitters for breakfast, and I spit out their bones. Now, this is going to be the hardest, most difficult thing you ever attempted in your entire life. But you know what? When it's over, you guys are going to be champions.
Champion!
This is the Full Press Bears Podcast.
Packers suck!
A part of Full Press coverage.
I like this kind of party! I like this kind of party, baby!
Here's your host and diehard Chicago Bears fans, Kyle George and Joey Plotkin.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Get ready to bear down.
Thank you, and go Bears!
All right, hey Bears fans, it is your host Kyle George, and the show, as always, is about the Bears all the time. I know it was a rough one on Sunday, so hang with us. You can follow me on Twitter at FuriousGeorge94. And for more news on the Bears, follow our news coverage and articles at Full Press Bears. If you really feel like you have to read more about the dumpster fire that is the Chicago Bears right now, if you want to talk about it, get some therapy going here, can email me at fullpressbears@gmail.com. I need to get a new phone number because I haven't had anybody call, so the phone number went dead. So I will get a new phone number and update you on that once I do that. But when the phone number is live, I'll update you and you can call in if you would like to vent at all as well. I'd love to hear from you. Leave reviews. Whatever your honest review is and take is helpful for me to grow, and this podcast can be heard on any of your popular podcast platforms that you're probably listening to now, but I would encourage you to go share it with your friends, your family, whoever you feel like could use a dose of the Bears. Make your worst hated enemy and rival sit through an episode of this, because the Bears were brutal and it would probably be a punishment for them to have to do it, but it would get us the listens, and I appreciate your help. Check out fullpresscoverage.com or the Full Press Coverage app, and please make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Okay, so that was the traditional game review introduction read by me, and I read all of that there as using singular nouns, but we have the exciting announcement, and actually, if you were paying close attention when you were listening to the intro music coming into the show, there's a little bit of a change in some of the words that were said in that introduction, but Joey, who has been on with me for several weeks, is officially now the co-host of Full Press Bears, which I'm very excited to have him, and we were just kind of doing a trial run for several weeks, just making sure that we were both comfortable with the fit, and we were. So I'm very happy to have Joey on. He'll be here now every week. You'll no longer see a title of the episode that I'll say with or featuring Joey Plotkin, because he will just be assumed to be part of it. There might be some episodes where he goes solo, maybe some episodes where he's not able to make it and I go solo. That's the way it goes, but that's why we have each other on here to help keep each other accountable for the show. So Joey, thank you so much for accepting the offer and being the new co-host.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Kyle. This has been some much needed good news and positive news for me. And I'm excited to be joining the Full Press Bears team officially. And yes, like you said, excited to have honestly, our weekly discussions and, you know, going through our game reviews and previews together has just been making every game and this whole season a lot more enjoyable for me. So excited to keep it going and just better things ahead for us moving forward, and hopefully better things ahead for this team ahead moving forward as well.
Yeah. And if I could, I hopefully, you know, let me know if I'm not speaking this accurately, but I would say, I just want everyone listening to know that, you know, I'm always going to plug Furious George 94. I'm always going to plug Full Press Bears on Twitter. But Joey is, you know, you're on Twitter more kind of following news as opposed to posting frequently and everything. And so it's like, mm-hmm, you're not necessarily out looking for followers. So I would say more or less, you know, if you don't hear us reference his Twitter handle, Don't feel like we're leaving him out or anything, okay? It's just he is here to bestow upon you his knowledge and his understanding of how the game went, and you just get to take that in. So,
yep, I'm a man of the people, just a fan observing, but right. Like to just dive in a little bit deeper. But honestly, we'll keep you all updated for future plugs for where you can find me on social and getting a little bit more involved with some Bears thoughts. So stay tuned for some more updates there.
Ooh, a little tease. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to this game. I titled this episode Game Review Buccaneers 34 to Bears. Do we really even need to talk about it? Because I actually, similar to last week, like the whole I own you everything with Aaron Rodgers, my response to it was just very numb. Like, I just don't really have, I don't know, nothing happened that happened against the Packers surprised me, and nothing, not really much that happened against the Buccaneers surprised me. I did think they were going to score at least like 10, 13 points. So it was worse than I thought, but it wasn't shocking the way it happened. So that is very much where my brain is at with this game. I have very little to say about it. I honestly have very little I even remember about it. I remember the Buccaneers being up 21-0. I remember them being up 31-3 going into halftime, and I remember the final score being 34-3. That's all I remember, and I couldn't tell you about specific plays because I just have chosen to repress those memories in my brain.
Yeah, that was it 38-3? I don't. We might not even have the final score right. That's
It does not matter. I'll look it up while you talk.
So doesn't matter. No, like I think we uncovered the together during the Packers game. I think, like, for me, I wouldn't say that it was a surprise, but coming off of the win against the Raiders, I think there was just a little bit more of a coming back to reality and a reminder, and you know, just really a true measuring stick game of here's how far we are from the Packers, and this was here's how far we are from the best teams in the league, which I think Packers fans will come out of there. You know, they came out as confident as Aaron Rodgers did with the I own you, and I'm going to just kind of sit back. I let out my frustrations. I'll be excited to see that team fall apart in the near future. So I think that was a measuring stick game from, you know, that reminder of like, okay, damn, we're still a ways away from, you know, being the best team in the NFC North. Then you go up, and neither of us were surprised whatsoever, but that is just a very clear delineation of here's how far you are from competing for, you know, if you want to make a push for the Super Bowl or for a deep playoff run, these are the type of teams that you have to beat. And that was just really showed exactly how far, because we hung in there against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And in this game, even, I mean, despite like the tough start, I mean, there was just almost no, we were just clearly outmatched, you know, throughout the entire way. And I don't think 9 times out of 10, they're going to lose that game, if not more.
Yeah. The final score was 38-3. So I actually remember it being better than it actually was.
But, yeah.
No, I agree with you. And a lot of people have been out there saying, oh yeah, well, you know, it is the Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champions. And oh, well, you know, Bruce Arians, he's still very motivated for not getting the Bears job. Oh, and you know, Tom Brady is very motivated and petty because of losing to the Bears last year and being embarrassed because not remembering fourth down, all these things. And it's like, I get all that. And I do understand that maybe there's greater motivations for these players, but let's not pretend like these are not all professional athletes and all of them are super competitive. And the fact, like, I understand that Tom Brady is the GOAT. I understand that he is maybe super petty. Bruce Arians is super petty, but that is not the reason that the Bears got blown out. Okay. Right. That, I mean, sure, maybe they had a greater motivation of, oh man, let's embarrass them. But Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have made comments since that game that the game didn't even go as great as they wanted it to, which is a little scary to think about. And yeah, I think if your focus is, oh, well, it's Super Bowl champs and they're super competitive, then you're missing the mark. The Bears should be more competitive, really, than what they are. Mm-hmm. And this just showed you how little they have. One of the biggest things that you can note from this, and it was pointed out across many media outlets, was the fact that the Bucs could have had Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski play despite their injuries. Like, they were healthy enough to play in an NFL game, but they chose to not make them active for the game. And yet they still had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate and Leonard Fournette. Like, they have such a deep well of talent that you can miss basically their top two receivers this year and still be high flying against another NFL team. And the Bears aren't even the worst team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give credit to the Buccaneers. Like, they are a very well-built team. I've had them pegged as a repeat Super Bowl champion since the beginning of the year. I know it's not common anymore, but if there's anybody that's going to do it, it is going to be Tom Brady that would do it. It's wild. The Bears were doomed to lose this game from the beginning. I guess we all hoped it'd be a little closer, but here we are.
Yep, your recap is spot on. And it's Tom Brady and Bruce Arians their motivation had nothing to do with Matt Nagy not giving Justin Fields first team reps in the offseason, building an offensive playbook that caters to his strengths, allowing him to develop chemistry with Allen Robinson, being responsible for a COVID outbreak and attacking a lot of the depth throughout the roster, the having a start of fifth string right tackle that you find about this morning. Like, those are all things that, like you said, we were doomed from the start going into this game. And then, you know, leading up to all of the distractions and all of the other mayhem from the week leading up to the game, it was lost before the game had even started. And I think this is kind of serving as a good, like, take a step back moment, as like, let, you know, we have one more game through October and with the 49ers and the Steelers before the bye week, and kind of checking in with where this team is at this season. Like, I think you've always done a good job of kind of keeping the bigger picture in mind with this team and what this year is really about. And and after a game like this, where it's just, I have so little to say about the actual on the field results, so there's nothing to analyze. I've said this in the past too. It's like, I want to watch a game where we can talk about, a safety missing a tackle, a blown coverage, a receiver drop. But like, it's like, that's just so far down the list of things to address on this team that it just feels, and that's what I feel like, you know, recapping and trying to break down what we saw this past Sunday would be. And so to me, it felt like a more productive time to kind of take a look at a higher level, you know, from building onto our case of a legitimate case of why Matt Nagy needs to be fired and why the Bears should break precedent in doing it sooner than later instead of waiting till the end of the season, but also trying to find some sort of optimism and thinking about the bright spots and the pieces that you have to build around Justin Fields and make a push in the coming years.
So a couple things. One is you made reference to the problem of Nagy not giving Fields really any first team reps in the preseason. And obviously at the time I was like, yeah, that seems like not a good idea, especially because even if Dalton was starting even through the first nine games or whatever, still, presumably at some point, Fields is going to start. And by you not giving him first-team reps, you're really doing him a disservice. I always thought that was strange that he did that. But I wasn't never really sure how big of an issue it was. But what hit it home for me, like, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, this is because he didn't have first-team reps. Is it? I'm not sure. But what hit it home for me was today's press conferences. This is on Tuesday, October 26th, by the way, when Allen Robinson basically said, yeah, we're not on the same page. We didn't practice at all together in the summer. That's all you need to hear. And so Allen Robinson, presumably your leader on offense, is now saying, I didn't get enough time with Fields. If he's saying that, you know that Mooney and Kmet and Monty and Herbert now, and the offensive line, everybody who is an important cog in the Bears offense did not get enough time with Fields practicing with them. And when the players are saying that, then you know that that's a problem.
100%. The way the O-line is going to pass block with Fields back there, you've seen a lot of snap issues with him and Mustafer. You've seen, you know, and true incompetence on the scramble breakdown plays, whether it's a free play or whether it's just Fields buying himself some extra time. It's like, it's like, I feel like these guys are finally, you would think they'd be like, okay, we can finally put Nagy's play to the side. It's kind of a, let's improv a little bit and just get open and play schoolyard backyard football. We've been playing it since we're kids. And it's like, this is, we're so dysfunctional in all of that because this offense is so nuanced and detailed, and there's so many moving pieces that, like, I really feel like these guys are on offense are all regressing as a whole because of they're just simply overloaded with the amount of responsibilities that they're forgetting just how to play the game in a simple way.
Yeah. The other thing you had mentioned that I wanted to address was you just said this is a good time for us to kind of step back and evaluate. What value, if any, is there in keeping Matt Nagy as head coach? And should the McCaskies break their precedence and fire him? And the way you said it, I don't remember exactly the word you said, but you kind of inferred that perhaps, you know, you weren't saying we should see if they'll break precedence. You're almost suggesting that they should break precedence and fire him. And I just want to address that and a lot of other people on Bears Twitter. This was the exact same Bears Twitter that it was during the Browns game where everybody left and right is fire Nagy, fire Nagy, fire Nagy. I was that way with the Browns game. The Browns game, I know Adam Hoge mentioned he would argue, and I actually kind of agree with him, was worse than the Buccaneers game, simply for the fact that you had 47 total offensive yards and the Browns did not win the Super Bowl last year, so you have less reason to less excuse for that. But I thought after the Browns game, that was it for Nagy. And when he didn't get fired after that, I looked at this game and I'm like, yeah, there's no way. Like, I definitely think this is his last year as the Bears head coach. I 100% think that he would, barring a miracle turnaround where, you know, Bears are 3-4. If somehow he can get this team to 9-8 or 10-7 and make the playoffs, it seems unlikely at this point. But if he can do it, then I'm sure he'll keep his job. But I'm pretty confident this is his last season. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen in the middle of the season. I don't care when it is. I don't care how bad it gets. The only way the McCaskies, I think, would have the balls to fire him is if the law like forced their hand. Like if Matt Nagy did something illegal, they would fire him. But other than that, and I said this on Frustration Nation with Man Michigan Hat, I don't understand where that comes from. I don't understand if like I understand. Okay, I get it that maybe in the era of George Halas, it was like, oh, you know, it's important. I really don't want you guys to fire people. Give them a whole season to make sure that you've truly evaluated them or whatever. Sounds like wisdom that like an old senile George Halas probably gave Virginia. And it's very sweet and it's very nice, but this is the modern NFL. It's a results-based business. And I've said this before in this podcast, the Bears organization is filled with quote-unquote nice guys. Mm-hmm. And the nice guys are great. Nice guys will get you very far. But in a results-based business, in a sport that is built on toughness, the overall niceties is not going to cut it, at least in terms of if you actually want to be competitive. So, well,
yeah, that's where you get. You allow George McCaskey to talk about Ryan and Matt being men of character, right? Well, that's great. You know, that's good reason to hire them as, you know, one feather in the cap. That's not everything. And the results are, it's not like that they're not there. It's just, and my fear is that even if the Bears were to, I mean, this is still a competitive team, you know, picking up 3 wins already into the season. The defense is going to continue to bail out this offense of games that they have no business competing in or winning in, the offense that is. And I just hope that the McCaskies or whoever is ultimately in a position to make that decision, if Ryan Pace can kind of break from his coup with Nagy, that like they're, you know, that they're going to go down together. Yep. But accountability is needed. And my hope is that they would say like, yeah, what's best for Justin Fields' development, regardless of this defense getting them, you know, to go above 500 throughout the stretch of the season is not, it should not be what's best for Justin Fields or this offense. And the results of where this offense ranks this far into the season, even after the first few weeks of Andy Dalton, like, it's so beyond a reflection of Matt Nagy, it hurts.
Yep. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, so, you know, you said big picture. What does this season mean? And at this point, to me, what this season means is, can you salvage a season of development of Fields? I feel like Fields has started, what, 5 games or whatever, and it's already been so horribly mismanaged and handled, and I feel like you can already see some of the negative effects taking their toll. Fortunately for the Bears, Justin Fields is a very mentally tough individual, and I think he will rise above all of it in the end. And I guess I'm not super concerned that they're going to fully break him, but you can have legitimate concerns that bad habits will be created. And again, I know Justin Fields is a whole different animal than Mitchell Trubisky. He's a whole different level of intelligence and physical ability, and I do think he will be good. But you have Matt Nagy, you have bungled this development, which is the whole purpose of this season from the start. And now the question is, with 10 games remaining, can you salvage a productive season of development? Or whenever the new coach takes over next year for the Bears, are they going to be starting on square one with Justin Fields? And in an NFL where the most valuable thing you can have is a quality quarterback on a rookie contract, if you are wasting a year of that, and almost or potentially setting him back even more. That's right,
exactly, for his second year.
Then, yeah, you're totally screwing it up. So, I never cared about the win-loss record. I still don't care. I know that we don't have a first-round pick. Whatever. Like, and because they don't have a first-round pick, I don't care. Like, if the Bears won the rest of their game, sure, I'd be excited. I'm sure that would help Fields. I wouldn't be like, you know, the Bears are not going to win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I don't care if they win the rest of their games, lose the rest of their games, whatever. The pick doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is Justin Fields and his development.
Yep. I agree. What matters to me is continuing to see growth from the rookies from this season and, you know, the second year guys, you know, the rookie class from last season, like, can grow together and level up together. And so you need to dial up more plays to Cole Kmet, which they've done in recent weeks. I know he had a bad drop, but that's the direction, you know, we kind of committed to that direction, and let's give that a chance to play out. Same with Darnell Mooney. Same with, and it will kind of cover into some of the news from this week and learning more from, you know, Jason Peters' press conference today than we have in any, you know, Matt Nagy or Bill Lazor or anyone else. But we're learning that Larry Borum will be back in the coming week, Tevin Jenkins a couple weeks thereafter. It's like, let these guys grow together. That's the future, hopefully, future core of this team. Yep. And I'd even pose something that I thought that I had earlier today around, you know, with the trade deadline coming up. I think it's November 2nd. So you're starting to look at Allen Robinson. If a team, let's just say hypothetical, a team like the Ravens, you know, wants to make a push and they want to get Lamar some help aside from Marquise Brown for, you know, another receiver, and they're willing to, you know, maybe like a second and third round pick for Allen Robinson. Done. I think so. Yeah. I mean, even a second round pick, I was trying to work out a few offers. Like,
I will trade you a second round pick straight up.
Yeah.
For Allen Robinson, especially the way that he's produced this year. And I understand that I truly believe he's better than that. And I do think that him not having the practice with Justin Fields can be to blame for a lot of this, but he has just been off this year. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm getting to the point where if you can get a third round pick and like a sixth round pick or something for him, you got to take that. I mean, and the thing is he's not going to be a Bear next year. They have to pay other people like Roquan Smith, who is definitely a more quality and necessary player for the Bears to re-sign. They don't have money for Robinson. This is his last year whatsoever. So you may as well trade him now while you can still get some value for him.
That's what I think. It's got to happen. And it sucks to say it, but that's it makes way more sense for the direction of where we're headed. Yeah. And you know what we need right now with the amount of gaps in depth that we need to address on offense, let alone the cap room that we're not going to have to pay Allen Robinson, which is where we've been this whole time. Same with Nick Foles with the trade deadline coming up. Like, man, if I'm Ryan Pace, like this week, you know, this next week or two should be busy for him, and he should be scouting any offer he can get for Nick Foles, Allen Robinson, you know, listening to teams that might have if Andy Dalton, whoever might make sense. And I think we need to start really retool, like not a rebuild, but an offensive retool. It seems to be kind of what's needed, and pair it up with a new offensive coordinator / head coach, just to that's the direction that we just want to get to. And it just needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. And I think, yeah, the trade deadline is interesting because the NFL moved it up a couple years ago to make it more in the middle of the season. And I just don't, I can think of many things I think the Bears should do, but I just don't really think any of it's going to happen.
I know. That's where we are, is definition of insanity. And we sit here and kind of are like, all right, here's all the different things we would be doing. And instead it's, we're going to see if Sam Musfer maybe plays better this week at center and just keep trying that. We're going to see if, you know, okay, maybe this is the week that, and it's like, all right, I can't.
Pace just seems like he sits on his hands all year. And then when free agency opens up, he's like, oh, I'll go sign and overpay these older, less productive free agents. And then I will be really bold and trade a bunch of future draft capital for these draft picks. And then I'll do a few interviews during summer training camp and one at the beginning of the Bears season, and then I'll be done. And that's like the trade deadline that he just does nothing. And because Allen Robinson is one, people, because of the emergence of Khalil Herbert, people have said, well, do you trade David Montgomery? I can see plenty of reasons why not to, but I also, you can see, because Herbert is an example of how running backs really are
diamond a little more. Yeah. It's teams get into, unless you're talking about the Derrick Henry mold, it's like, you're not
right.
You can't be tying up that. And we aren't good enough of an offense around that to overspend in the running back room.
And Monty has dealt with injuries the past 2 years, and he'll be healthy, you know, back and healthy, you know, not long after the trade deadline is over. Like, part of you is like, who knows, maybe if you traded him, I can't even think of a team that needs a running back right now, but if you traded him to a team, a contender, I'm sure they would love that boost, and you would probably get a haul for him. That's all I'm saying. Like,
and it's not even about us advocating for it. It's so much as like, these are the moves that we have not made in the past years that have set us back to where we are today, on top of the missed first round picks, et cetera, you know, trading up and going all in on guys and missing. But you don't back yourself up by making those bold moves and by regaining some of that draft capital. We don't do it, and it's time to switch up the approach here.
In the offseason, when the report came out that the Raiders had inquired about trading back for Khalil Mack, I said at that moment that, like, everybody, a lot of Bears fans responded to it, like, just with like LOL or like the crying laughing emoji, things like that. My response was, well, I sure hope that they took that phone call, and I sure hope they listened to what the Raiders had to offer, because Khalil Mack has had a great year so far, and I definitely think he's still a good player. But the reality of the situation is that Khalil Mack is not going to be on the Bears and the Bears next win a Super Bowl. He is not, like, he was a great anchor for the Matt Nagy era of the Bears to have some semblance of success. But whomever is the next era is under, whenever Justin Fields brings this Bears team to great heights, Khalil Mack will not be on the team because he's too expensive and because he's too old. He will be playing somewhere else, and he'll still be playing well because I do think he's that good of a player, but he will not be on the Bears. So I hope that whoever, now I'm sure the Raiders aren't calling anymore, but whoever is calling about Khalil Mack and any of your defensive pieces, minus maybe Roquan Smith and Jalen Johnson, I sure hope you are listening.
Agree.
And an ideal scenario with this trade deadline, this is total fantasy, won't happen. But ideal scenario is you take two really high profile value guys like a Khalil Mack, like an Allen Robinson, like a David Montgomery, pick two of them, package them together, and then add on Eddie Jackson and send them off and hope that the team that is taking them is like, look, we will take, we want these two good players because we're going to take on the $18 million cap hit that Eddie Jackson has next year for you. That would be, and to me, the ideal scenario, because you basically get rid of the nightmare that is Eddie Jackson. You can start over, maybe recoup a little bit of draft capital. And yeah, so anyway, that's my little rant about the trade deadline.
You can't most important to me is, and it's a phrase that Ryan Pace has used in the past, like everything should be on the table. Agreed. And in the past, he's used that phrase the wrong way. But in this instance, it needs to be about planning for the future. And I agree. I mean, aside from Roquan Smith, I would agree with Jalen Johnson, but like everything should be on the table. And no one should be, you know, if someone picks up the phone looking for an offer for anybody on this team, and throw in Nick Foles for the love of God somewhere. Like, I don't care what we get for him at this point, but there has to be a team that is going to be in need. I mean, I say, like, send him down to the Saints. Like, Taysom Hill is not going to be a backup. Just, I don't care what you take a six rounder from the Saints for Nick Foles. Just call them up. I mean,
the Jets just traded for Joe Flacco.
Right. How did he not end up there? Yeah. How does Joe Flacco make it back to the Jets? Right. I do not get that.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is struggling in San Francisco. And Lance, last I heard, wasn't he injured? Or was he?
I think they just aren't playing him.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. There seems to be, and hey, if you're, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, and you're listening to this right now, hi, thank you for listening. Andy Dalton's red hair would look good in Niners uniform as well. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, just consider that, you know. It's crazy. Just everything's a mess. And actually, thinking about the Niners, I took a minute and looked at the Bears' schedule. And if I can infuse a little bit of optimism moving forward in this season, looking at their schedule, Joey, I think they may have already gone through their hardest stretch. Raiders, Packers, Buccaneers, I think I could argue is the toughest, maybe not originally when the season started. When the season started, you looked at the Niners, the Steelers, and the Ravens as problems too. But you look at these teams now where they're at, and I'm seeing, and this is bad if you want Nagy fired, but I'm seeing real potential for a playoff push from this Bears team. So you have the Niners next week and then the Steelers. The Niners are 2-4. They are, as I predicted going into the season, the last in the division. They are disappointing. They're tied for last in the division. Their defense is fine.
Yeah.
Their offense sucks. You have a legitimate shot to beat the Niners. They're coming to Soldier Field. It should be a good game. Fields hopefully wants to get revenge on the Niners for not drafting him. Bears, Steelers, you're in Pittsburgh, a little tougher because you're on the road. A winnable game. Pittsburgh is not what they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is good. Roethlisberger is old.
Yep.
You should be able to take advantage of some things, win there. Ravens at Soldier Field. It's at home. Ravens are good. However, almost lost to the Lions. They got blown out by the Bengals, whom the Bears beat.
Yep.
They've had a lot of close calls, the Ravens have. That could be a week. Maybe you get lucky, you beat the Ravens. You have the Lions on Thanksgiving. The Cardinals, we'll skip that. The Cardinals, Packers, stretch will be your other.
It's like a two-game stretch. I mean, depending on what the Vikings look like at that point, but it's the Cardinals at home, Packers on the road, and then Vikings at home is probably your next toughest stretch, and the Vikings are probably still a winnable game. So, Vikings, yeah, I mean, you're right.
So, yeah, then you finish out the season Vikings, Seahawks, Giants, Vikings. Seahawks, depending on where they're at, Russell Wilson should be back playing by then. But you never know, and you never know if his finger will be fully healed at that game. Who knows? But you look at this, and you're like, okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 I'm going to say 7 of their next 10 games I would consider are legitimately winnable. The ones I left out are Cardinals, Packers, and I left out Seahawks for now just because I feel like they're a big question mark. 7 of their 10 games, what would that leave us with? That'd leave us with a 10. And if they were to win all of those winnable games, which is unlikely, but if they were,
yeah, that would leave them 10 and 6 seven. Now. That's what they do with the extra game. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, everybody, so don't freak out.
But
I'm
there's a path to this team still, you know, kind of a repeat of last year. Even if they – even there's still some room, right? And that's kind of what we saw last season at the end is they kind of backdoored their way into the playoffs, and that was – that gave them enough ground to stand on to keep their jobs. Again, this – like, to me – what you'd have to see there is the offense being the reason why they're winning, why they're staying in or winning these games. You know, Justin Fields growing and showing a better understanding of his offense, of reading defensive coverages, you know, building more chemistry, et cetera. Like that's the type of progress I'd have to see in addition to these wins, and not just continued better performance from Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack and, you know, getting sack fumbles and just getting bailed out of games that we had no business winning. So
100%.
And my theory would be, yeah, we go maybe 500 throughout the rest of the year, and you know, it becomes we face the year end, and I'm hoping that Fields is starting to look, you know, a little bit better as he's getting a little bit more comfortable with everything. But man, like we were talking about earlier, it just really does feel like this is going to have to be Nagy's last season at this point in where we are in the year now. And that's the direction that I'm not trying to push to just blow everything up and blow it all up, but we this path that we've been on now for years and the one we're starting on now with Fields is just it's not it.
Well, part of it too is that Nagy is the topic of a lot of national media. So the national media is airing out the Bears' dirty laundry right now, which for the Charter franchise is an embarrassment, and there's been a lot of reports from different people on Twitter that the Bears management is quote unquote fed up with the situation, and specifically Matt Nagy, not so much Ryan Pace. And honestly, even if the Bears make the playoffs, if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm looking at these past few years, a 4-game losing streak, a 6-game losing streak. Who knows what this year could hold? But if I'm Ryan Pace, I look at that, I'm like, dude, I need to separate myself from this guy. Like, Just Ryan Pace's own survival, and I'm not the biggest Pace fan either, but if I am Ryan Pace, I'm like, oh my word, if I do not fire Nagy, he is going to bring me down. Like, my shot to continue as the GM of this team is to fire him and get someone else in here.
Yep.
So I think it would, unless it's miraculous and the Bears are 10-7 and they are really competitive and almost win the wild card round playoff game or whatever. Unless that happens, I really think Nagy will be fired. And like you said, unless there's tangible evidence of growth for Fields, unless the offense is performing at a high level, there's no reason that the Bears should not fire Nagy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the step back that I wanted to take. Like, that's the direction we need to head. And I have reached my point of I don't care. Like, a great offensive performance against the 49ers to me is going to say a lot more about Fields in this offense than it is about Matt Nagy. And same for any good showing that I see in the second half.
Matt Nagy is probably not even going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, wouldn't that? How poetic would that be if, like, you see, you know, he's out of practice all week. He's got nothing, you know, just let Laser and I don't know, Tabor's taking all of like the head coach responsibilities this week. And let's just watch like the offense click, put up like 35 and have their best performance of the season.
You know what? It seems like a real possibility. And you know, I would never wish COVID on anybody, obviously. But it is just sort of ironic that Bears fans have been wanting Nagy to go away and stay away from this team and Justin Fields for so long. And now Bears fans are kind of like, finally, he's forced to be away from the team. And obviously, I wish everything is well with him and his family, but it is interesting. And I'm not going to get my hopes up. I would love to be pleasantly surprised and see the Bears offense explode. But if that happens, Nagy's done. I mean, how can you, as the management of the team, look at the Bears and say, with your head coach absent, you excelled more than you have in the past three seasons?
Absent all week, all the game planning. Yeah. I mean, just so far removed from everything.
You have to remove him at that point. So this has been a longer episode than we normally do, and it's kind of funny because it's not really that much of a game review. Right. I did have my doink of the week was the entire game, and my Sunday sweetness was not even Bears related. My Sunday sweetness was because I'm a Blackhawks fan, and this is another tragic, horrible story, but the good news from it is that Stan Bowman has been fired or stepped down or whatever from the Blackhawks, and the dumpster fire that is right now as well. So you weren't expecting NHL talk on this Full Press Bears podcast, but that's my one little snippet of Sunday sweetness. Did you have anything for those two or no?
I did one, and tying into the Doink of the Week, like what the Blackhawks is teaching me right now is that's why the leadership is that important. And it is in this day and age, especially, like we can't overlook how important it is to have things right at the top. Yep. And that my Doink of the Week being Matt Nagy feels very appropriate as we are kind of in this stretch of learning what we're learning from Bowman in 2010. And I'm just, it's just hitting on the same theme of leadership here. So Matt Nagy is just getting my Doink of the Week. Sunday sweetness for what feels like the third week in a row now. Like I'm shouting out Khalil Herbert for his performance and just giving it to him because it's like, yeah, there you go. I mean, it's not, and I want to make sure that the credit is also going to the offensive line and the blocking of the tight ends. And it's just so ironic to me because Matt Nagy almost like he stands for the opposite of that. Like his philosophy is not run first whatsoever. It was like tooth and nail to get him to, you know, hand over to Bill Lazor, who was going to call more running. But that's always been widely known about Matt Nagy, and he's admitted it as much that that's just – even in the past few weeks, he was just like, all right, if these guys say they want to run the ball, I guess that's kind of what we're doing. Like he talks about it very honestly. So it's like I'm giving my sweetness to the opposite of Matt Nagy, one thing that the offense is doing successfully in spite of him.
And they put up the most – the pit of the best rushing numbers against the Tampa Bay has had all year. Yep. So – yeah, it's a big accomplishment that Herbert was able to do that. And what I loved is that Damian Williams was back for this game and Herbert was still the featured back.
Yeah, he had like, what, two carries, if that. I mean, I barely saw him getting involved. And yeah, that says it. I talked about this, I think, last week when we were doing our package here. But it's like they just stumble their way into personnel. And I don't think that they were whatsoever aware of the talent that they had in Khalil Herbert. Sure, like credit to the scouts and Pace for drafting him. But like, why does it have to take a David Montgomery injury, a Damian Williams COVID? And then it's like, oh, my God, look at the talent that we have in Khalil Herbert. I mean, Matt, like it would have been so easy for that to not have been brought to fruition or, you know, for this whole season to go by and Khalil Herbert gets really limited amount of reps. Wouldn't have surprised me in the least bit. So it just is so frustrating to me that like our entire approach and personnel, everything that's done is like it happens in spite of the plan and the direction that we're going for.
Yep. No, I hear you. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode here. Any final words before we sign off?
No, I'm excited. I think we're We'll stay tuned in the coming weeks to see if there is, you know, let's see how this shakes out against the 49ers, and we'll be back to kind of share some more thoughts there. Final thoughts. I'm excited to officially be a part of the team here. And
yes,
I am still don't want to look like a bigger picture of the Bears as a whole. There are still, it's hard to see them now, and it's, you know, where we are in the middle of the season right now, but there are reasons for optimism. And I think, I think the more we can kind of tap back into that, we'll all get through this stretch.
That's right. That's right. Look, heads up, Bears fans. Next week, it is a winnable game. I think this is one of the games that a lot of people had circled on their calendar early in the season, ever since draft night, really. Should be a good game. I'm very excited about it. We'll be back with the preview episode later this week, hoping to have a guest on this week. So you will find out if we are successful on that in a couple days here. But as for this episode, as victory formation, which the Bucs were basically in all of the second half, this episode has come to a close. So again, please follow me at FuriousGeorge94. Follow our Twitter page at Full Press Bears. Email me, Full Press Bear. Email us. I'm sorry, us, FullPressBears@gmail.com, and leave us a review. All your thoughts, we want to hear from you. So be great, kind, bear down, and we will see you next time to talk Bears Niners.
Bear down.
Boom, baby! Fade to black.
Been the Full Press Bears Podcast. If you don't love the Bears, we don't love you.